requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We're going to be talking about some of the things that we don't want to seek, as opposed to some of the things that we do want to seek. And so I want to start off by saying thank you today to the folks at Jets Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need anyone to come out and do some block or concrete work for you, they are experts in the concrete field. If you'd be praying for them, they've got some things that they could use some prayer with in their life right now. And so I'm not going to disclose what those are, but if you would hold them up in prayer, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. We are thankful for the 28 years that we have known them, and they are a blessing to the community, a blessing to our church, and we want God to bless them. So 321-536-5804 if you need any block or concrete work done and you want it done correctly. So tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. That would be greatly appreciated. So I want to invite you out to church this coming Sunday. Sunday school's at 9:30. Our worship service is at 10:30, and we are looking forward to that. We are blessed to be a blessing. We exist as a church to be a blessing. And this last Sunday, we had somebody in. They helped us out with our sound system, adjusting that a little bit, and got it sounding really, really good. And then on Monday, they sent me this email, and it said, these are some steps that I would recommend so that you can improve this even more. And so we are thankful, very thankful for the ability to have somebody who can come in and then actually give us an action plan. That was very, very helpful and very thoughtful, and we are greatly appreciating it. So we're getting real close here to the end of September, where we will be, you know, three-fourths of the way through. We are into fall now, and for that we're very thankful that the temperatures will be a little more mild, and that we'll continue to have protection from all those storms that like to keep building, that they'll just continue to spin out there and pick water up from one part of the ocean and move it right into another part of the ocean and not do any damage to people. So that's where we are. We'd love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. We're going to go back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And we're going to look at we're going to go back to verse number 10 and set a little bit of context here before we pick up in verse number 13. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much complaining about the people concerning him. Some said, "He is good." Others said, "No, on the contrary, he deceives the people." However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" Then Jesus answered and said, or the people answered and said, "You have a demon who is seeking to kill you." Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to the according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. So, Jesus is here, and he's not looking for his own glory, but instead he is looking for the glory of God. It's interesting that his brothers said, you need to go and make yourself known openly because you want to seek to be known. And Jesus said, that's not what I'm here for. At the same time, the people who were at the feast, they were looking for Jesus, but no one was talking about it openly because they were afraid of the religious leadership that was in place at the time. And the religious leadership, at one point in time, they threatened to remove people from the synagogue, treat them as excommunicated if anybody had anything good to say about Jesus. No one was talking openly about it. You know, there are a lot of things that are going on in society right now, and there are a lot of people who are saying, you know what, there are certain things that we just don't talk about right now openly because of some of the retaliation that could go against it. So there was a time in my life where I had I'd gone over, my daughter was in school, and we took a weekend off and went over. We were going to try and help her find a church that she felt comfortable in and worshiped in. So we went with her to church one day, and there was this speaker that was speaking. It was a guest speaker. It wasn't the pastor of the church. I felt like the name of the sermon should have been titled Ode to Mother Earth, was the way that I would have titled that message. It wasn't something that inspired me a great deal, but there was something that was said during that service that was absolutely 100% scripturally incorrect. You know, I tell people, the Bible talks about where there's multitude of words, sin is not very far away. So the more that you talk, the more that you have the possibility of saying something that is going to be incorrect. There are times when my brain is trying to communicate one thing, and my mouth actually says the opposite. And it's like, what in the world? That happened to me this last week. I was trying to say one thing, And I was trying to say, this is what I want. This is not what I want. And I inverted them and said exactly the opposite. And it's like, why in the world does that happen? And so you may hear some verbal faux pas from me, and my brain, it said the same thing. In fact, as I read this passage, I came to verse number 20 again, and I made the same reading error that I made when I read it yesterday. I had to correct it again. It's just something that happens sometimes where there's accidental miscommunication. But these people, back to my visit, this person made it clear that they were very intentional about what they had said. And I'm not the type of person that just goes and lets that stuff go. I wanted to go, and I wanted to talk to him. And my daughter said, Dad, you can't do that. because you don't know the response that you are going to get. She was more aware of who the speaker was than who I was. And she said, I'll end up paying a price because of you confronting that error. So you can see that sort of stuff happened in Jesus' time. It happened some time ago. And we find that it is very prevalent now. There are a lot of people who are not saying a lot of things because of the repercussions that may come about from saying something that might be deemed unpopular, but it would still be true. Now, verse number 14, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? You say, well, why did he go up and teach? Well, he was there not to be a distraction. He was there to impart truth. And the impartation of truth, spiritual truth, was much more important for these people to receive than it was for the risk that he was taking. There was a time where the people that Jesus was speaking to took offense to something he was saying, and they were ready to toss him off a cliff. But it wasn't his time. And so Jesus literally walked right through their midst. God is the one that is in control of timing. And so it's possible for Jesus to be imparting truth, and it was amazing the things that he had to say. Now, I've got a daughter who is, I've told her, I said, you're probably a better preacher than I am. And she looked at me and she said, Dad, I had better be a better preacher than you are. You are on the radio 5 days a week. You do anywhere from 1 to 3 different services a week on top of that. And I preach once a year, once every 6 months, something like that. That message had better be amazing. And so I appreciated the humility. I also recognized that, you know, whenever we speak, we need to have God take that message and make it something that is going to captivate the audience and draw them into a closer relationship with Jesus. The people said, how in the world did he learn all of this since he hasn't been to rabbinical school? He hasn't ever studied. And Jesus answered them this. Now, I'm going to tell you something that is probably going to be unpopular, but it's true nonetheless. Doctrine is important. It is important what you believe. There are a number of people who are Christians who believe things that are contrary to the Word of God. Reincarnation is not something that aligns with the Word of God. The Word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Okay? That's karma is not in the Word of God. Okay? There is a lot of infiltration from outside of the Word of God that has permeated much of the beliefs of modern Christians. Okay? So I've talked about a couple of things, and you say, well, that's kind of wacky. That's out there. Let's talk about something else. Well, okay, the Word of God, the doctrine of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God says that sexual sin is not supposed to be in the church at all. And yet Paul in 1 Corinthians encountered sexual sin that was not even named among Gentiles. So we've got to be careful what permeates, because it has a price tag. It has a price tag. So Jesus goes on and he says, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, so Jesus was coming because God the Father sent him, and he said, the doctrine I'm sharing with you is the Father's doctrine. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, you will find in verse number 14, it says this, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. Doctrine is not something that is created by man. It really should come from the throne room of God. There have been a number of people that I've known through the years that they have believed something, they have proclaimed it, and then all of a sudden at a certain point in their life, something happened. A loved one suddenly embraced something that these people had all of their entire life been against, and all of a sudden they were adjusting their doctrine to fit their family instead of adjusting their family to fit sound doctrine. The Bible talks about that there would come a time when people would not tolerate, would not listen to, would not stand for the proclamation of sound doctrine. We live in a day and time right now where there is censorship like I have never experienced in my whole life. I am so old, I remember when people were talking about censorship as a bad thing. That's how old I am. You know, that if you went and tried to have a book removed from the library, the Librarians Association would be absolutely livid with you and say, "We do not live in an age of censorship." There was a movie that I was shown back when I was in high school. It was called Fahrenheit 451. That was the temperature at which a book supposedly burned. And so it was a movie that was to show you the serious ramifications of what a censoring society looks like. Now, censorship happens every single day in America because people have the mindset, "Don't you hit my ears with anything that I don't want to hear." People don't want to put up with sound doctrine. They only want you to tell them wonderful and lovely little things that are going to make them feel good about themselves. Jesus says, "If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Okay? So we have got to have our will aligned. If we're going to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, our will is going to be implemented. But if we're seeking the things that the Gentiles are seeking, we are going to have a will to seek those, and we are going to be void of a will to seek the things that God wants us to seek. Here's what he says. This is how you can identify what is going on with a believer, or with a believer or an unbeliever who's a speaker. He who speaks from his own authority, not an authority that was granted unto him, seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Okay? Jesus said, "I am a spokesman. I carry a message, and the message is from the one who sent me." I explained to our congregation this last Sunday morning, the word angels is simply a messenger. A messenger who carries a message not of his own making, but a message that he has been empowered with to go and to deliver it. And once it's delivered, not to receive the glory, an angel would not allow anybody to bow and worship them. Okay? If you ever have an angelic encounter and they receive worship, I will tell you this, that's not a heavenly angel, that's a demonic angel. Okay? And so we deliver the message, and it's not, so let me put it this way. our church is Pentecostal, and so we believe in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are gifts that belong to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit decides when and whom he is going to utilize in the operation of those gifts. And he gives to each severally as he will. In other words, we believe that every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit to do whatever is necessary for the mutual benefit of the congregation. But there are many people who get puffed up whenever they get used as a messenger in a service or anything like that, or if they happen to deliver a message and they get puffed up and they think that it's all about them, when it really wasn't all about them. It was about what the people that they were speaking to were to receive. I will tell you this. Instead of thinking of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as a merit badge, that once we have it, it belongs to us, and everything is all hunky-dory after that, instead of thinking it's a one-time event, and now we're good to go, we need to be thinking of the gift of the Holy Spirit as a very humbling thing. To be used, to be chosen and used by God to deliver his precious message is not for our glory, it's for the glory of God. And so there's this video that I watched about teaching and communicating, and he said, if you are communicating something and the student does not receive it, does not understand it, does not apply it, does not benefit from it, all you have done is you've gone up there and you've given a performance. So everything that we do needs to be so that is apprehended by the people who are needing it. We are not here to seek our own glory. Instead, we are to glory of the one who sent him. Okay, so I'm going to make a statement about the one seeking the glory of the one who sent, and then we're going to see the inverse of what that means for a person who is seeking their own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true. Okay, so a person who is seeking their own glory may very well tell you something that is not true. How do you know what is true and what is not true? Well, that's where that word doctrine comes in again. You need to know your Bible. You know, it was only a few hundred years ago that people still thought it was a taboo thing. It was something prohibited. You couldn't put a Bible in a common, ordinary person's hand because they may not understand it. Now we have realized the value of everybody having access to the Word of God. And does that mean that there are some people that don't get the proper grip on it? Yeah, that happens. It can be a little messy at times. But I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I could read the Word of God and find things in there and say, you know what? I was taught this by somebody, but it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So now I've got to decide which one is true. Well, the Scripture says, let God be true and let every man a liar. If you ever hear me say something that violates the Word of God, then understand that whatever I said is the one that's not true. There are some things in the Scripture that I haven't been able to grab my intellect around yet, but you know what? I don't say that as a negative thing. I've got a finite mind trying to grasp an infinite God with infinite wisdom. I'm not going to be able to grab hold of everything except for that the Spirit of God gives us the gift of discernment to understand the things of God. Okay? So A person who's seeking their own glory may not tell you the things that are true because that might not give them the reception that they're looking for. And the one who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Okay? We need messengers who are going to communicate the message in love, speak the truth in love, and that there isn't a problem with our right standing before God. The one who is seeking the glory of God is much more concerned about their standing before him than they are their standing before man. So let's not surround ourselves with people who are looking to make a name for themselves or looking for their own glory, but instead let's seek for the one who is righteous and true in all his judgments. Let's seek for the glory of God. So Jesus goes on and he says in verse number 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So there are a lot of people who are very quick to make decisions and quick to discard. And Jesus says, look, you need to make righteous judgments. It goes on and it says that there were people who were seeking to kill him once again. And there were people that said, you know what? I don't know why they're trying to kill him. Maybe they've decided that this truly is the Christ. But there are some things that we don't understand yet. You know what? I am so thankful for the Word of God. I tell people, I said, I was a pretty good baseball player until they started throwing curveballs, and no one taught me how to recognize a curveball. So I thought I was hitting fastballs, and now I know better. I could probably have been a better batter had I known some of the things then that I know now. I continue to study the Word of God, continue to come to church, because I don't know everything. I want to encourage you, don't give up on Jesus. Don't seek your own path. Don't seek your own truth. You know, the world has got to the place where they don't believe in absolute truth. Well, what's true for you might not be true for me. Cling on to the Word of God that is true, both now, it's settled forever in heaven and earth, and say, God, would you teach me your doctrine? Would you teach me your truth? God bless you. You have a great week. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.